البيان راديو presents an explanation of كتاب التوحيد from صحيح البخاري presented by شيخ محمد دعار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد. My dearly respected brothers and sisters, tonight we continue with the explanation of كتاب التوحيد taken from صحيح البخاري. And tonight we have the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardah, who narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, and when He finished from His creation, the rahim got up and Allah azza wa jal said to it, "Stop, what do you want?" So it replied, "At this place I seek refuge with you from all those who sever me," meaning those who cut the ties of kinship. So Allah Azza wa Jal said to the Rahim, "Would you be pleased that I will keep good relation with the one who will keep good relation with you, and I will sever the relation with the one who will sever the relation with you?" So then the Rahim replied and said, "Yes, O my Rabb." And then Allah Azza wa Jal replied to it, "That is for you." Then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith, he recited the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says in the translation of the meaning, "Would you then, if you were given the authority, do mischief in the land and sever your ties of kinship?" So this hadith is regarding the rahim, which the Muslim is ordered to keep sila of, to keep ties of kinship. Allah had this conversation with the rahim when He created the creation. And Allah Azza wa Jal continues to create whatever He chooses, whenever He chooses. And when the hadith says that Allah created the creation and when He finished from His creation, this proves that Allah Azza wa Jal is always knowledgeable about what happens. Since Allah created everything, Allah is knowledgeable about what happens and what will happen in the future. And Allah Azza wa Jal is always sending down His decree, which He has written, subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ulama by the name of Ibn Abi Jamrah, he said, "The apparent of this hadith teaches us the greatness of the rahim's rights, the huquq of the rahim, the kinship, ties of kinship. Its rights are so great." This hadith proves that. And it proves that keeping ties is from the largest acts of righteousness, and breaking it is from the largest of sins. And Allah Azza wa Jal, when the rahim got up, He said to it, "Stop, what do you want?" So then it said, "At this place I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from anyone who cuts me," meaning the rahim. So we take the apparent of the hadith, and this is a conversation that Allah had with the rahim. And it is literal, because Allah Azza wa Jal is capable of all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow and make anything that He chooses to speak. Just like hellfire speaks, and just like anything from the creation Allah has allowed to speak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all things. And we do not need to dwell into how this happens, and where it happens, and how. This does not concern us. Our duty is to surrender to the text, submit to the text, and accept it as it is. And we do not say what the innovators said, because some of the people of innovation, they mentioned kalam, like they said Allah gave life to the raham, and then He allowed it to talk. This is nonsense. This is words that has no proof. All we are obligated to do is understand that Allah had a conversation with the Rahim. How he done it, we do not know. He did not inform us. But we surrender to the text as it is. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said that this hadith is from the hadiths of attributes, which is compulsory to leave on its apparent meaning. So we leave the hadith as it is in its apparent. And this shows the greatness and the importance of Silat al-Rahim, my brothers and sisters. Something that we don't want to say a lot, but some Muslims take very lightly, where they break the ties of kinship very easily. Even though Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us to keep ties of kinship with those from our relatives and so forth. And the silatul rahim, is to treat well the kinship and to have love and closeness with them and to help them in need and to prevent harm from them and to be eager in benefiting them in the dunya and the akhirah. This is what sila means. When you have sila with your rahim, it means that you treat them well. You have love, closeness, and you help them in their needs, you prevent harm from them, and you are eager to benefit them in the dunya and the akhirah. And with silatul rahim, there's a minimum, and then there's the complete. Some people might have problems, but they choose to keep the sila of rahim on the minimal scale, where they give the person their rights, and so forth. And they do not go beyond that. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he then said to the Rahim, would you be pleased that I will keep good relation with the one who keeps good relation with you? Look how much Allah values the Rahim that we are commanded to keep. He asked this question, would you be satisfied if I keep good relation with the one who keeps good relation with you? So it replied, of course, yes. So whoever Allah Azza wa Jal keeps ties with will succeed in the dunya and the akhirah. That's why even sometimes you might keep silatul rahim just for the sake of Allah keeping a sila with you. You will keep ties of kinship even if it's hard. Why? Because Allah has promised that He will keep ties with the one who keeps ties in their kinship. And the one who Allah Azza wa Jal keeps ties with them, no doubt they will succeed in the dunya and the akhirah. And they will reach all goodness. And that person's ending will be the Firdaus. Because sila does not end until he reaches that place and sees his Lord. The sila from Allah does not end until you meet Allah and you see Him. And whoever Allah Azza wa Jal, we understand the opposite. That whoever Allah breaks ties with him is no doubt from the greatest of losers in the dunya and the akhirah. And he is with the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the shaitan. So this is a severe warning that we should not hasten and be quick to cutting ties. And Imam al-Bukhari has used this hadith obviously because there's a conversation taking place between Allah and the Rahim. And we are still in the chapter discussing the speech of Allah. So this is more proof once again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with a voice that is heard. We move on to the next hadith, which is the hadith narrated by Zayd ibn Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, it rained and the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, some of my slaves have become disbelievers in me and some others believers in me. This hadith mentions that rain came down and this happened after the Prophet ﷺ done the istisqa, after he made dua for rain to come down. It rained. Then the Prophet ﷺ, after it rained, he said, Allah said. This is once again what type of hadith? Qudsi. When the Prophet ﷺ says Allah says, this is a hadith Qudsi. What did Allah say? Some of my servants have become disbelievers in me, and others believers in me. Some have disbelieved in Allah and some have believed in Allah. The narrator of this hadith is Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was the flag bearer of Juhayna on the day of Fath Makkah. When Makkah was conquered, the tribe of Juhayna, this companion Zayd ibn Khalid, the narrator, he was holding the flag of his tribe. And he was from the people of Ridwan. He was from the people of Ridwan, the ones that gave the Prophet ﷺ allegiance, the ones that Allah had promised that He had granted them paradise. So the hadith says that it rained, and this happened at night. It rained in the evening, and that was at Al-Hudaybiyah, as mentioned in the hadith. But the author, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he summarized the hadith here because he just wanted to use the proof that Allah said. And we've mentioned before, it is the style of Imam Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, where he will use only part of a hadith sometimes just to use the shahid, just to use the proof from it. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, some of my slaves have become disbelievers in me and others believers in me. And the reason for this was also shown in the hadith, the same hadith, in its full form, where Allah Azza wa Jal said, whoever says we received rain from such and such star has disbelieved in me and believed in the stars. And whoever says we received rain from the blessings of Allah has believed in me and disbelieved in the stars. So this hadith, in reality, it is a lesson of Tawheed. Because the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that whoever attributes the sending of the rain, that the cause of the rain coming down is the stars, and because of the stars, then this person has disbelieved in Allah and believed in the stars. This is what Allah says. But the one who says the rain comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, from His blessings, Allah says he has believed in me and disbelieved in the stars. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, in Islam, we do not attribute such things to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah is the one that sends down the rain. Allah is the one that causes the ground to bring out its fruits. Allah is the one. All of this type of belief is in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah is the Lord. And Allah being the Lord means that He is the owner, He is the king, He is the controller of all affairs. So when you believe that Allah controls the affairs, you do not believe in these types of things. You believe that these things happen only from Allah Azza wa Jal and no one else. And this is a lesson for us today. And the hadith is used here because once again, it's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned these words. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if my slaves love me, afwan, if my slave loves to meet me, then I too love to meet him. And if he dislikes the meeting with me, I too dislike the meeting with him. This is the hadith Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned here. Once again, it's Allah's words. What did Allah Azza wa Jal say? If my slave loves to meet me, meaning Allah, then I also love to meet him. And if he dislikes to meet me, I in return dislike to meet him. And this hadith has been previously spoken about in the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is the love, when Imam al-Bukhari mentioned it in the previous chapters. And that Allah Azza wa Jal has taught us that He loves His obedient servants. And we previously spoke about the servant loving Allah also, and that is from Asluddin. The foundation of your religion is that you love Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the fundamentals. that the believer must have love for Allah Azza wa Jal. And whoever does not love Allah Azza wa Jal with a love, and this is the condition, whoever does not love Allah Azza wa Jal with a love that causes him to obey him, humble and lower himself to Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is not a Muslim. Then he is not a Muslim. And the hadith is proof that Allah Azza wa Jal dislikes things, just like he dislikes meeting the one who dislikes to meet him. And he dislikes kufr for his servants, as Allah Azza wa Jal has said. So Allah may dislike certain people and he may dislike certain actions. In Sahih Muslim, in the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiyallahu anhu, he reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden for you disobedience to your mothers and burying your daughters alive and withholding the right of others in spite of having the power to return that to them and demanding that which is not one's legitimate right." So look at this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ is saying Allah has forbidden these things. Number one, disobedience to your mothers. Number two, to bury your daughters alive. Number three, withholding the right of others, even though you have the power to return it, and to demand that which is not rightfully yours. He then said, and he disapproved. He kariha. He disapproved three things for you: irrelevant speech, persistent questioning. And by persistent questioning, it means too much questioning of no benefit. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith that what destroyed the previous nations was their constant questioning of the Anbiya. So asking questions is good when there is a benefit and it's to learn. But the constant questioning there, where there's no benefit behind it, where it's burdening yourself with the question, this is not praised in Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal dislikes that. Just like Bani Israel, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered them to slaughter a cow. If they surrendered to that, they would have obeyed Allah. But because Bani Israel is Bani Israel and they're known for their qualities, what did they do? What color? Allah told them the color. They kept asking about the cow until it was almost impossible for them to find it. And then they had to spend a huge amount of money to purchase it off the owner. This is excessive questioning that brings you harm. And that's a lesson for us, that sometimes it's better not to ask too many questions. And that's what our deen teaches us. He said, and the third thing, and wasting wealth. So these are three things that Allah Azza wa Jal does not like. And Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned this hadith, that Allah Azza wa Jal said, whoever loves to meet me, I love to meet him. And whoever dislikes to meet me, I dislike to meet him. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she heard this hadith, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, none of us likes death. Like, who likes to meet Allah? None of us likes death." Then the Prophet ﷺ explained to her that this is not what is intended. That's not what it means. He said to her, the believer, at the time of his death, meaning before his soul comes out, the angels come down to him, and they give him the bushra. They give him the glad tidings of Allah's pleasure and generosity. So imagine the believer, as he's getting ready to die, the angels come down to him and they tell him, have glad tidings. Allah is pleased with you and Allah's going to treat you very generously, inshallah. When the believer hears these words, nothing becomes more beloved to him than to meet Allah. And in return, Allah loves to meet him. He then said, as for the disbeliever, at the time of his death, the angels come down and they give him the glad tidings or the tidings of hellfire and Allah's punishment. So when they receive that news, nothing becomes more hated to them than to meet Allah. And in return, Allah dislikes to meet them. That's how the Prophet ﷺ explained this hadith. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is important for us as Muslims that we live our life according to the deen of Allah. So that when death approaches us, and it will, no one has escaped death and no one ever will, that you receive this glad tiding. And this glad tiding will only be given to those who live their life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, next week we will continue with the next hadith. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.